your time to Surface Podcast. Please subscribe.
Hello, welcome back to the podcast. I'm happy you all could join me again. Let me tell you, the past couple of weeks since my mental health episode, I've had such a great outpouring of love, outpouring of support. Full disclosure, that wasn't my intent. My intent was to just share what I'm feeling, what I've been going through, in the hopes that it can benefit someone. And the feedback has been positive, and it has been very helpful to me, being able to contribute, being able to look outside of myself, if that makes sense. Because giving, serving, doing allows you to mitigate your anxiety. It's not comfortable anymore. It's forced to move, it's forced to grow, and that's how it's been for me the past couple of weeks. That doesn't mean I'm cured. I don't think there really is a cure, or anyone can be fully cured, at least in this life, but we can certainly manage it better and not let it control our lives, control our decisions and outcomes. But for this episode on Mental Health Monday, yes, it's a new format that I'm doing. Today, or Mondays, will be mental health related, and Thursdays will, every week, it'll be a trade-off on Middle Earth stuff, as well as paranormal, supernatural, because I'm getting feedback of bringing that back, and I have a treasure trove of things to share in regards to that. But this Mental Health Monday, well, let me just say this. Mondays suck. Now, I'm unemployed currently, but Mondays are still Mondays. And maybe part of that's anxiety. You're just looking forward to the week, and you make goals or plans, but at the same time, you're like, oh, it's a long stretch till the weekend, or the long stretch till this great event's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to be. You know, I feel rejuvenated, refreshed since last week. How long is it going to last? And of course, we have all these thoughts, or even with a job, oh, I have to call this person, set up this meeting, I have to do these trainings on top of taking care of my kids, or, you know, finding time for me, reading a good book, hanging out, or whatever the situation is. Mondays aren't the penultimate optimistic day of the week, which is why I wanted to do the Mental Health Monday podcast. Because for me, it's helpful to reorient myself and push forward and be positive for the week. And it needs to start off with a good day. And I'm making Mondays a good day. That doesn't mean I'm always going to be, you know, skipping and playing leapfrog with unicorns, but I'm going to try my best to be positive on Mondays. So, this episode is called Three Voices. Now, this may seem, at first glance, something regarding like multiple personalities, or I forget what the correct medical term is now. That's not what it's about. It's in the context of mental health and our motivations, or rather the voices that we have in our heads. Our feelings, what we think is what we feel, and those feelings turn into behaviors. And what we think can be separated into three categories. There's the voice of ourselves, and then there's the voice of anxiety, and then there's the other voice, which I'll get into later. And that voice can be different for everyone, and when I get there, I'll explain what that third voice is for me. But with these voices, with these feelings or anxieties, like a runner in a race, which one are you going to train the most? Which one are you going to spend the most time on? Which one are you going to seemingly strengthen to win the race, win the day, get the trophy, and be the person you want to be? And And the past few years, I was training all the voices. So you could also think of, I've seen images of arrows, one going straight, one curving to the left, one curving to the right. And if that's one runner and they have to choose which way to go, it's pretty difficult to choose all three. Eventually, you're like a fork in the road. Eventually, you're going to have to make a choice or else you're going to have to see a doctor. So I'm going to start off with voice one. And voice one, okay, I admit right now I had to pause. Maybe you couldn't tell, but I had to pause because this topic gives me a lot of anxiety to talk about. It affected me this morning, feeling very lethargic, very doubtful, but there is value in sharing, there is value in openness, and that can bless the lives of others. So I'm not just myself. So if it feels like the audio may cut out a little bit or be uneven, like I'll try to fix that in editing, but typically it's me pausing to breathe because this is a topic that I haven't wholly dissected. It was an idea that I'm like, I need to talk about this. It could be relatable, but at the same time, speaking about it out loud could help me manage these voices. Okay. So voice one, that's myself. Or yourself. It's the us, right? It's the part of us that wants to be focused on a task, focused on a job, focused on a purpose, right? There's also the part of us being positive. This voice is encouraging. And when adversity comes, it encourages us to be patient. Maybe there's something to learn from this particular obstacle or rough patch in our lives. It's also a voice that reminds us to be kind to ourselves. And being kind to yourself wasn't it wasn't something I ever heard, being kind to yourself. I hear a lot of being kind to others, obviously. Treat others the way you would want to be treated. But good old Mr. Rogers, I wish there were more of him in this world, especially for children to watch on TV. But I'm sure you saw this trending or passed around last year, but he said, in regards to being kind to yourself, he said, the toughest thing is to love somebody that has done something mean to you, especially when that somebody has been yourself. Have you ever done anything mean to yourself? Well, it's very important to look inside of yourself and find that loving part of you. That's the part you must take good care of and never be mean to, because that's the part of you that allows you to love your neighbor. And your neighbor is anyone you happen to be with at any time of your life. Respecting your neighbor can give everybody a good feeling. So that was a concept, again, that was foreign to me. But in the context of the past couple of years, I wasn't, and still, not wholly being kind to myself. Easy to point out mistakes or lackluster moments or guilt, shame, regret, what have you. That has been very pervasive for me. And that's something that's across the board. We're humans. We oftentimes retreat into ourselves. And we start, being mean to ourselves. And I'll get into that in a little bit. But this voice number one of ourselves or myself, staying focused, positive, have a purpose, be patient, be kind, not just to others, but to yourself. I have whole documents filled with positive quotes, personal and other experiences, stories, uplifting stories, and there's plenty of them that float around social media that I've recorded or saved on my phone. And oftentimes I look at that. I want to remember a lesson learned or something inspirational someone said that can help me in a given situation. But even doing that, the past couple of years, I wasn't utilizing that resource. We have many resources to help us in our mental health journey. It could be professional help, family, friends, mentors, coaches, books, TED Talks, even anything that's uplifting to help motivate you and remind yourself that you can conquer this Goliath. You can overcome this brick wall. And I wasn't feeding that to myself. I was like recognizing these notes or good experiences and stories, but I wasn't looking back on them. The moments would pass of feeling good because I wasn't letting myself feel that or know that I can be positive, that I could push forward. And that leads into voice number two, anxiety. Anxiety is the worry wart. Anxiety is very annoying. Anxiety really affects our health, and it's affected my health. And even as recently as this morning, and preparing and for this podcast, anxiety is annoying because you feel this insatiable need to think about every possible outcome. And that is incredibly taxing, especially if you're going to bed and you're tired and your brain says, nope, we got stuff to talk about. And you're like, why? And then your blood pressure rises and you feel flushed and itchy and sweaty and you're not tired anymore. And then you wake up feeling terrible or you snore a lot. But the anxiety loves to bring up what ifs. What if I had said this compliment to this person? What if I actually decided to go beyond my means or get out of my way to help somebody? What if I had emailed them, this customer, this particular tidbit of advice? What if I had a stronger tone to let them understand my my position, and however you want to apply it. So many what ifs. That goes back to examining every possible outcome of a decision, whether you've made it, or what's worse, that you haven't made yet. And when that also goes into the third point for this, that it doesn't let you sleep. And then there's the question, why did I say that? Now, I am a full-throated introvert, and so doing these podcasts it's not very easy for me to do. If I give off that, guys, that this is pretty comfortable, that I'm used to do it, this is my 24th episode, and each episode is difficult because I have to force myself to speak, to open my mouth, to not keep it shut. So yeah, always thinking, why did I say that? And I've seen plenty of funny memes, like a woman was laying on the ground after she remembered saying something to someone earlier in the day, and she's burying herself with a little shovel. And I'm like, yeah, that happens too often for me. But anxiety also makes me hyper-focus. And that could be in regards to my former employment, hyper-focusing on sending an email, making sure it's perfect. I could spend 2 hours on an email that was less than 200 words. And that was just me ensuring or thinking, considering every possible outcome of the recipient or recipients. How will they take this? Will they ask further questions? Will there be follow-up? Will they get upset? And I'm thinking about all those things. And maybe that's just good customer care, or customer relationships. But I spent way too long. I was hyper-focusing, if it was a phone call especially, because being an introvert, being put on the spot, I speak as if I was 5 years old, because I'm put on the spot. Or hyper-focusing on making a mistake, or maybe confessing something. And always always thinking about, did that person really give me a compliment? Did they mean it? Did I say thank you? Or I said thank you, but was it kind of a derisive tone, or was I pompous? Even down to people giving me compliments, I have trouble acknowledging it or how to respond to it. And one form of my anxiety is if it's been a really rough day and it's the end of the day where I'm exhausted, I go to playing a video game. Because in some irrational part of my mind, it makes me think, or I convince myself that, well, my problem will go away if I just play this video game. Anxiety also shows itself in the mornings. Like, how many interruptions will I have today? I set goals for myself, the same as if I was in a job setting. I had my own weekly goals and daily tasks. But I constantly think about how many interruptions will I have, that I can't complete this task, I can't complete this or achieve this milestone for the project. You know, how much further is that going to push me back? I might as well not even make goals or make tasks for myself, because there's always going to be an interruption at some point, and it's going to demotivate me from even continuing. Another part is, why was I so neglectful today with my children or taking care of things in the house? Neglectful from keeping my goals, like going for a walk, and hyper-focusing on, did my children see me like this? I feel like they gave me looks, and just all these things I've talked about. Hyper-focusing, can't sleep, questioning decisions that I've made or will be made, determining every possible outcome. I have a set structure, but there's going to be interruptions. And in turn, with all those busy things in my head, at the end of the day, I've been neglectful of my duties as a father and a husband, and even an employee. So that's anxiety. I really can't stand it. That doesn't give me anxiety to say. I'm just justifiably loathe anxiety. I know it's a perfectly normal human reaction. We are fallible creatures, but some may be stronger or more determined to not let their anxiety control them. And that's where I am striving to be, is not letting it control me. So the voice number three, as I said before, this could be anything. But voice number three has become immensely stronger after facing and dealing with mental health issues. And this voice is not me. Or I guess it is part of me, but it's not the me that I want people to see. And that voice is a voice of anger. My first panic attacks or nervous breakdowns were bred from anger. Anger from feeling stagnant, impatience, constant misunderstandings, my own arrogance, judging too harshly of others, and making mistakes, oftentimes just dumb mistakes, if you will. But when I was planning for this podcast, I wanted to write down everything that I could think of, everything that voice number three has said to me many times. And it has been a stumbling block, if you will, in my happiness, in my progression, in having overall quality mental health. So the things that this voice tells me are the following. You are so stupid. Why are you so weak? Are you going to let them talk to you like that? Since when did you become so brave? You're just going to give up tomorrow. Don't leave your job. This is the only place that you can find success. You are safe where you are. Don't even dare change. You will never be forgiven. They're stronger and smarter and braver than you. Don't let yourself be something you're not. We're happy here. Knock it off. You say you're patient and that you have progressed, but where is the recent evidence to suggest you are someone better than you actually are today? John, look at the success of others. They try, they sacrifice much, they have such a great life. You're cursed with failure. The scared, timid, and hopeless kid is still paying rent in that head of yours. Don't look at yourself in the mirror. Don't even try. That's what it says to me. And maybe there can be relatability for some of you. That obnoxious third voice that anytime you progress, you feel it. It's gross or grotesque hands grabbing onto you as you're trying to reach the surface, trying to grasp for that light, that relief. It keeps pulling you. And this voice has become immensely stronger this past year. After recognizing I have things to take care of, and the progress that I've made, the good experiences that I've had, and opening up, finding relief and forgiveness, this voice is pervasive, and I hate it. And hate's a very strong emotion and shouldn't be used lightly, and maybe I'm speaking out of turn with it, but I hate this voice. My first panic attacks were bred from anger. And not long after I recorded my previous episode, I had a terrible panic attack. The trigger was simply me looking for employment. And I just became irritable and impatient. I wasn't thinking pleasant thoughts, and so I came up to here in my office, and I put my elbows on my desk, and my hands just grasped my head, and I was pulling on my hair, my fingers were digging into my scalp, I was breathing very heavily. I was clenching my teeth. It was as if, you know, someone said something incredibly rude to me or something horrible happened, and I just became incredibly angry. And I haven't had many of those. They typically last 5 to 10 minutes. This lasted about a half hour. And my other voice's anxiety didn't even want to look, and the me voice was scared. I know it was scared. I was scared. And I felt that was voice three doing their job, if you will. They were finding success in keeping me pinned down, reminding me that I have baggage and that it's too hard to deal with, and I may have made progress, but that doesn't mean, you know, I'm going to progress anymore. There's no guarantee, and that my progress is small compared to others. And something that I love to think about or remind myself is compare yourself with who you were yesterday, not with who someone else is today. And that's what was going through my head. I was comparing myself with who someone else is today, not remembering growth. And so my wife was downstairs, and I was crying out for her, but I was so incredibly out of it, I don't know how loud I was. And I don't think I was very loud, because this voice was so controlling. I could barely speak. And I finally had enough sense to grab my phone, because even that was difficult. And I just texted her, "Help." And she came upstairs, and she saw how I was, and she immediately got to work. She made me go through exercises of spotting certain things, colors, smells, what do I hear? She didn't mince any words. She got right in there and was pushing away this voice and helping me to be focused, helping me to stop what I was doing and to think. And that was very hard. And it was very hard for my wife, not just to see me like that, but getting me out of this. She's helped before, but this was different. This was desperation on the part of voice three. This was desperation because it was losing control. And it had been in control for a while. And it isn't the easiest thing to withhold control or take it away from someone or something that's been comfortable in that position of authority. But this voice was, it was desperation, which is where the fingers in my scalp and pulling at my hair and heaving and puffing, it was desperately trying to hang on. And my beautiful wife, she ended up having me look at my desk mat. I have a desk mat of Middle Earth. It's a map of Middle Earth. And she looked at it and said, "Tell me about this map. What do you see? Just tell me about it." And so she was pointing to different locations on the map, and I slowly started to explain different things, like its location, the stories behind it, characters, and some history. And it went all the way from the Far East and Rune all the way west to the Shire. And that was helping me, because I was talking about something that I'm passionate about, that I love, and that is Tolkien's Legendarium. And when I was manageable, she had me look in her eyes and to focus, and that was very hard because I was feeling an overwhelming sense of shame for how I was behaving, and I was embarrassed that my wife had to see that. And after a few moments, it left. It left. Just like any of my moods, they come in a snap and they leave in a snap. And I was fine. Which is just the weirdest thing. It's so weird that happens, that's what happened. But it was my turn to switch seats with my wife, because she was completely distraught of how difficult, not just getting me out of this slump, but seeing me in that capacity, completely powerless and helpless and angry. And that's the extreme side of mental health, is when It could be triggered by almost anything. Anything traumatic, a memory, or a mistake. And you just focus on it. You focus on those thoughts, and those thoughts produce feelings. Feelings of joy, feelings of, monotone, or feelings of anger, or impatience, or apathy. And this one is very scary. And I've had bad ones, but this one tops them all. Now, I've mentioned in a previous podcast, or the previous episode, that I am religious, I'm a Christian, and so I have a strong belief in God. I recognize that isn't everyone's, not everyone's stance or everyone's belief. And I encouraged you to find positivity. Gravitate towards good people, good examples that can and will support you. They will run to you. And I have found that to be true for me and my family. But when things got so bad for me last year, I was completely helpless. And I came up here to my office, and that was the first time that I fell. And I fell on my knees, and I immediately pled for help. What I was doing was not working. Trying to figure out things based off of knowledge, experience, or hope, but I was not taking care of myself. I was not trusting in those that were ever willing to help me. I needed to make the effort. I needed to show just a little bit of faith. And in that moment where I pled for help, it was given. It isn't often that prayers get answered quickly. Sometimes it's a long while, or maybe you perform service or, quality work in your job. Maybe just you're doing all the right things, but the benefits don't manifest themselves quickly. Oftentimes, things take time and patience, and I wasn't being patient with myself, that I was still making terrible decisions that were affecting myself and my family. I was trying to do it all. I was trying to be the man, the husband, the father. But my strength was lacking, and this was an experience that was completely new to me. And all of the things that I had done before to help me was not working. And so I fell to my knees and I pled God for help. And it came immediately. And every time that I have prayed and asked for strength, for making this podcast episode, for any simple or big task in the day, I have received it. Because I have had too many precious experiences to deny that power, to deny that I'm human. I can only do so much until I need help. Whether that comes from heaven or it comes from people. So my counsel right now is to hope. Hope is a very powerful emotion, just like hate is, but hate is easy. It's easy to hate someone. It's easy to have resentment and anger and putting someone in your debt, to have enmity towards others. But hope takes effort. It takes a willing heart and a willing mind, and you're provided with moments where your hope has given you what you need. My hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is in my God. And they have given me an incredible amount, helping me to look inward and find that I do have the capabilities to overcome or to manage this mental health journey. And sometimes that involves asking help from others. There are many people in this world, and I always first think about my mother, who are ready and willing to help. We all have our talents and our skill sets, and oftentimes we may seek to share those talents or those skills, that comfort, that love, but sometimes the better way of showing those good qualities is if someone asks you for help at unawares. My mother was the same way. My wife is the same way. And that gives me peace of mind. That mental health journey, sure, it's personal, but mental health affects every facet of one's life as it does mine, which impacts a lot of people, which necessitates, well, being open. And that journey of being open, I'm still on. It was the first step of being open with my wife and others gradually, because mental health is incredibly personal. But if you have experiences or you have that knowledge or wisdom to help, then do it. I am not a mental health professional. I am not a licensed therapist. I'm not a neuropsychologist. I don't subscribe to psychology publications or anything like that. This is just me just telling you how it is for me, what works for me. It may not work for you, but that's the purpose of the journey, is finding, knowing what the destination is and how you're going to get there. I know what the destination is. This is my journey. Find your own path to that destination, that worthy goal of having peace of mind and peace of conscience, and that ultimately you can be there for someone where you can know not wholly what they're feeling, as everyone's their own person, but you can be that helping hand, that listening ear, and I feel that's the part of my life that I need to explore with that openness, not using my introvertedness as an excuse or a cover or a shield from changing. Changing is uncomfortable. As I said before, I don't like change. It has to have real value for me and practicality that I can see, okay, yeah, that's a needful change. I didn't think my mental health was a problem for years. And because of that, I didn't feel the need to change. Unfortunately, negative things had to happen. I had to be chastised, if you will, to realize the repercussions of my inaction. So again, my counsel is hope. And it always seems daunting at first. That doesn't fully go away. But having the hope for not to sound cliche, but a better tomorrow, that begins right now. Small goals. And I've relearned the value of goals. Small, manageable, measurable goals. And they are big or small. That's determined by you. We're all different people. We progress differently. Oftentimes our pacing may be faster than others, but that doesn't mean we neglect progress. The pacing will increase for me in my journey, but I do not neglect nor forget my progress. And that is where I find hope. So I thank you for listening to this Mental Health Monday podcast of The Three Voices. And I look forward to, coming by again this Thursday, as well as next Monday. And I thank you again for being patient with me as I explain what I'm feeling. And I'm grateful for the kind words that have been given. So with that, I'll be done for today and see you on Thursday. Take care.
The Redundant Rufus Podcast. Please subscribe.